The White House has fired the National Security Council's non-proliferation director after learning he was incognito, posting snarky tweets about colleagues, Congress, and others. Jofi Joseph tells Politico that he deeply regrets violating the trust and confidence placed in him. But is it too late? And what does this mean for other federal employees using social media? For some answers, we turn to Deborah Roth, a partner at Shaw Bransford & Roth, in our weekly Legal Loop segment. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, Emily.
So using the case of at NatSec Wonk is a bit extreme. When you read any of his tweets, they are quite controversial on the surface. But what do you think federal employees can take away from his case?
Well, I actually wrote about federal employees using social media on their own time, but speaking out against their employer. And I wrote about it a couple of years ago because there's been a trend out there, at least in the private sector, for employers, private sector employers, before they actually do a hire, asking to get access to your Facebook account, to your Twitter account, to see what you're really putting on Facebook, what are you putting on social media. And so there's been a trend out there that employers really care in making employment decisions based upon what you may or may not be saying on social media. And states are starting to legislate to see, you know, whether or not they want to prohibit employers making employment decisions that way.
And do you know of any federal agencies where hiring managers have tried to do that?
No, I don't. But, okay, you know, for public employees, and I would imagine that they haven't done that yet, I imagine they haven't asked permission. They might do it anyway. They might put your name into Google and see what comes up, or go on Facebook and see if they can see what you've done on Facebook or social media. But for public employees, unlike private sector employees, for public employees, they actually have a First Amendment right to speak out, and you know, their right to speak out is protected by the First Amendment. Now, when you go and you look at cases where federal employees did speak out, you know, in the old days before the internet, they spoke out through the media, you know, printed press. Now, of course, anybody can speak out publicly. You have to, all you can do is open a Twitter account, you get on Facebook. But there's a line of cases, Supreme Court cases, that go all the way back to 1968, where the Supreme Court has said public employees, federal and state employees, who speak out as a private citizen on a matter of public concern do have a First Amendment right to speak, and you can't infringe on their employment to do that. And so the question becomes, are you really acting as a private citizen? Are you really speaking about a matter of public concern? Because that's when you have the First Amendment right. If you're speaking as a public official, as part of your official duties, the government absolutely can restrict your speech. But are you a public are you acting as a public official? Are you acting as a private citizen?
So then let me ask you the question about Jofi Joseph, who was tweeting, like I said, incognito as at NatSecWonk for a couple of years. And it's hard to find an example that I can actually say on the air. But, for example, in one, he was pointing out that the White House had waited until, he says, they had already made the decision to strike at Syria, that the White House wanted to do that before they called in the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense. Like, he's tweeted things like that, which relate to the work, but he's tweeting incognito, not revealing his true identity, and not exactly saying more specific strategic details. Is that protected by free speech rights?
Well, it gets a little bit more complicated for him because you have to add an additional layer. Not only is he a public employee, and so they have First Amendment rights to speak out as a private citizen on a matter of public concern. But you add on top of that, if he worked in the White House, it doesn't say it anywhere, Emily, but I'm just going to assume if he worked at the White House that he is not part of the competitive service. He's appointed by the president. And so if that's the case, it's the competitive service employees, the public employees who have a right to their job, where the First Amendment gives them protection.
All right. So if he's
if he's appointed by the president, then he's exempted from that, and he is not part of the competitive service. He serves at the pleasure of the president, and it becomes an at-will position.
But conceivably, someone lower on the totem pole but working within the same area of so privy to the same knowledge, if they were, say, SES or if they were part of the general service, then they could tweet the same thing.
They might be able to. They might be able to. You know, you look at a case from a while back. If you remember Teresa Chambers, who is the chief of police for the Park Police, and she spoke out years ago and spoke to the Washington Post about criticizing budget decisions that were made that she felt would affect her ability to deliver police services, park police services in the National Capital Region, and she was fired for that. She eventually, through many, many different appeals on many different legal issues, got her job back. But on the issue of whether or not she was fired for her speech, and did she have the right, First Amendment right, to speak out on that issue, it was found by the MSPB that she was not speaking as a private citizen. She was speaking as Teresa Chambers, chief of police for the Park Police, and because she was speaking in her official capacity, not as a private citizen, her speech could be restricted by the government. So there's a good example of someone who is, you know, in the competitive service, a true public employee with rights to their job, and when they did speak out about, you know, on information, you know, in their, which was determined to be in their official duties, the MSPB said, you do not have a right, you know, the government has a right to restrict your speech. This case of Mr. Joseph is much more interesting and a little bit more tricky when you apply the law, because he intentionally, Emily, was speaking out as a private citizen. He hid his identity. And so,
as many people do on Twitter, yeah, it's so easy to do.
Yeah, and he intended to, whereas Teresa Chambers, when she spoke to the Post, she intended people to know she was speaking with her true identity as the chief of police. So it's a little bit more interesting. I doubt Mr. Joseph, he accepted being terminated and resigning. I doubt that he would take action against the president for terminating him against his First Amendment rights. I doubt he would test it, but it gets a little bit more interesting because he really was speaking, he intended to speak as a private citizen.
We're speaking with Deborah Roth, and she is a partner at Shaw, Bransford & Roth, which raises all sorts of questions about how many other federal employees are tweeting under pseudonyms, things of public interest. Should they all assume, though, that their bosses have some way of tracking this and of eventually, even though it might take a couple of years, as it did in Joseph's case, finding out who they are?
Yeah. I mean, when you read the articles about this, they've been – they say they. They don't say who the they is, who'd been doing the research to track him down, to try to figure out who was behind that Twitter account.
Does he have the rights to ask?
He might know, because there were, from what I've read, there were overt investigation of him. They were getting his travel records, his vacation records, his phone records. So he might actually know who was doing the investigation. But I didn't see anything in the media that reported who actually was doing the investigation. All I saw, Emily, is what you saw, which was they'd been investigating him for a couple of years. Those kinds of investigations, you know, particularly because it involved a White House official, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the FBI were part of that investigation, because there was some concern that he was posting, you know, information that was, you know, determined to be sensitive or classified information. And so I wouldn't be surprised if the FBI had been involved in that.
In just a general sense, if you're fired over something that you did, which is relatively, perhaps was hidden for a while, so there was an investigation, at the time of your firing, can you or your lawyer demand some of this evidence, and how much?
Well, you can if you have an appeal right. So if he were career civil service and he had an appeal right after being fired to MSPB, he absolutely, the government cannot rely. That's where your constitutional rights kick in as a public employee. The government can't rely upon information to take a job action against you and not disclose it to you. That's the foundation of due process. You have a right to have notice of what the government is using against you. It's sort of the foundation of democracy between the government and all its citizens. The government can't take action against its citizens without giving notice. So what is it you're relying upon to take this action? Now, he doesn't have an appeal right, but he could simply use FOIA or the Privacy Act to make a request to whoever the investigative entity was, whether it be an arm inside the White House or whether it be a place like the FBI. Maybe they used an inspector general's office that they partnered with the White House, but he could make a FOIA request or a Privacy Act request. In that case, you don't have an absolute – you don't have a constitutional right to the information, and so the government – goes through the FOIA process, which, you know, in many instances ends up in a lot of redacting.
And Deborah, just on a slightly different point, but because so many people are using social media both for work and on the personal side, who has the right to cancel a Twitter account or the right to sort of the material within the feed? For example, here in Joseph's case, according to media reports, the account was deleted. Presumably he deleted it. Mm-hmm. But could the administration have forced him to do that?
Well, they could have made it a condition of his employment because he serves at the pleasure of the president. That kind of acting out publicly, you know, you look back, it's not just this administration, it's just not the, it's not just the time of social media, but if you look back, you know, when you act out publicly like that, invariably the president, you know, takes your resignation, asks for an exception resignation. But, you know, they could have said, you know, close down the account, made it a condition of his employment. Could they have closed it down without his permission? You know, that would be something that I imagine they'd have to, you know, deal with Twitter on. And it seems to me that that's something they could not have done. Our government is not in the business of restricting and limiting speech that way. They would have gone to him to get him to close it down. I doubt Twitter would have closed it down for the White House.
Okay, fascinating stuff. Deborah Roth is a partner at Shaw, Bransford & Roth, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Emily.